Fertility management in a changing world, sources, coatings, inhibitors, and enhancers. This is Bobby Golden, also located at Stoneville. Bobby?
Thank you, Wayne. When Wayne gave me this title, I said, you know, what am I going to talk about? How am I going to approach it? And I didn't even know where to begin. Usually I talk about a lot of field data when we get up and speak. This presentation, for some of y'all that have heard me speak, is going to be slightly different. It's going to be maybe a little more academic and show a lot of laboratory data. So why are we interested in enhancing our efficiency of nitrogen? This slide shows 33% worldwide in-use efficiency in cereal grain crops and 42% for developing countries. So basically, we're losing more than half of the nitrogen we put on, even in developed countries such as USA and cereal grains. When you say, well, we're at a cotton meeting, what are we talking about cereals for? Everything that comes on the cereals comes down the Gulf of Mexico and is creating the hypoxic zone, right? So whether it is or it's not, we're getting blamed for it in agriculture. But looking at cotton, most of the cotton data in the Mid-South United States, looking at end-use efficiencies, generated in Northeast Louisiana. And I think it holds up pretty good across most of Arkansas and Mississippi. If you look at nitrogen use efficiency with the NUE merit using the uncontrolled check, it can range anywhere from 30 to 100%, as quoted by Bouquet and Breitenbeck in 2000. So that's a big range. The better way to look at NUE is with 15N tracer studies. I think most of the scientists in this room are aware of that, but we can track exactly the amount we put on into the plant and tell what we're getting. And Dr. Chisholm Craig in 2002 did an extensive study at St. Joe, Louisiana, looking at this and come up with anywhere between 30 to 59% nitrogen use efficiency in cotton, depending on the soil texture it was grown on. So we still got a ways to go. Historically, how did we make up with this? Well, fertilizer was cheap, we put on more. You know, many of our producers out there running 120 to 150 units of nitrogen on cotton, which may be a little too much if you look at the data that John Cruz, Darren Dodds, and our fellow Mid-South Cotton, Tom Barber was in on that in the Mid-South that was doing, said we need somewhere around 100 pounds of nitrogen on a typical cotton soil to maximize yield. Well, we know that we apply more than that. We apply more because we have poor nitrogen use efficiency. One way to combat that is use some of these new tools that may enhance or make our nitrogen applications more efficient by protecting that nitrogen. And that's basically what I'm going to talk about today. First, we'll go through a slide looking at the nitrogen loss mechanisms. This is not a cotton plant, but I like the picture, so we'll use it. So we have denitrification, leaching, and ammonia volatilization. And it does not matter whether you use urea or UAN, that is a potential fate of both of those fertilizer materials. All right, to some degree, urea is going to be lean to that ammonia volatilization end just because of the nature of the product, whereas UAN is going to lead to leaching and denitrification to some degree, and ammonia volatilization to some degree. So these are the three major pathways that we're going to talk about today, and I'll start addressing them in a little further detail. Ammonia volatilization is the conversion of ammonium salt to ammonia gas, okay? And this generally takes place within a few days after urea is applied to the soil surface and not incorporated. All right, the whole process lasts about 10 days, and on many of the data sets in the Mid-South, we see on silt loam or lighter soils that up to 35% of the nitrogen can be lost of the total in-application rate. On our heavier soils, our clay loam soils, we see about 15% can be lost just due to the nature of the difference in the soil. So the higher the CEC, the less we may lose, the lower the CEC, the more we may lose through ammonia volatilization. Denitrification, the conversion of nitrate to N2O gas, happen with pretty much any of the fertilizer sources we use, especially since ammonium nitrate is really no longer available. All right, so it generally happens on poorly drained soils when they're waterlogged or flooded, and it can happen very rapidly with our warm winters we have, as well as our warm growing seasons. So most times it's going to take some sort of anaerobus in a short period. I think there is some studies that said in as quick as 3 days we can see denitrification losses. And studies in Arkansas as well as Mississippi suggest that up to 60% of the total fertilizer load can be lost. So using some sort of nitrification inhibitor could influence that and reduce that loss. The other term that we hear a lot of talk about in cotton is leaching. That's predominantly because of the soil textures we generally grow our cotton on. I know in some parts of Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, we are growing cotton on the heavier soils, which I think will be more prone to denitrification than leaching losses on some of our very fine sandy loams. But we can lose as much as 50% of the nitrogen applied through leaching losses if we have a very wet spring, which is prevalent in the Mid-South growing area. All right, so I kind of looked in the new buzzword for fertility is the four R's, or the nutrient management put out by IPNI, which is adaptive approach to nutrient management. We want to look at the right source, the right rate, put it in the right place at the right time. And how can these new products on the market, the N fertilizer enhancers or additives, help us with the four R's? Well, I believe they can help us with placement. Okay, by using some of these tools, we may be able to place these products in a different scenario than we could without them. And in some instances, they could help with our timing windows. Maybe we can go a little earlier because we're protected, or a little later. And before I start talking about the products and break them down, I'll say, you know, I was listening to the Weed Talks before, and everybody's aware that, you know, glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth, okay? We don't want to spray glyphosate to control Palmer amaranth anymore. Well, just similar to weed science, we want to use the right mode of action to target the right end loss pathway. And I think that's what we do a bad job as fertility people, is say this product does this, or doesn't do this, but we never target that mode of action and say, if you want to address this problem, you need to pick the correct mode of action. And there's basically a couple modes of action that we have to work with right now, and that is the urease inhibitors. As of now, the only known urease inhibitor on the market is MBPT. For the nitrification inhibitors, we have a couple, DCD, which has long been known, as well as nitropyrin, to inhibit the conversion of nitrate, and DMPP, which is showing great promise overseas, but is not currently have a label in the United States. We have played around with it in the past, and it looks very good, and I think has a little better efficacy than DCD. And the coated products, which is your sulfur-coated urea, and ESN. Primarily, we'll be talking today about ESN because sulfur-coated urea is an old TVA product and not a lot of it on the market. All right, so if we look at the first mode of action, it's how MBPT inhibits the conversion of urea to ammonia gas. If you look on the left side, I highlighted in yellow, we've got our urea, urease acts on that urea. We get an alkaline form of ammonium bicarbonate. At that time, if the urea is not incorporated, we can lose it through a gas. Okay, where the MBPT works in is it works as a competitive inhibitor on the urease enzyme. All right, in general, it gives us about 10, 12 days, depending on your soil texture, to allow time for incorporation. Okay, so it buys us a window to place that urea and extends the time frame. All right. However, if you are applying urea today and you get a rain tomorrow, that product did not do you any good. But if you're looking at a window and you may catch a rain next week, you know, it's got 10 days of efficacy. So using the product is dependent upon the situation you're using in. If you know you're going to catch a rain, do you really need to put on an MBPT product? Maybe, maybe not. How strong is that chance of rain? Or can I incorporate it with a flood water? Or can I incorporate it with a disc? If you feel like you can get an incorporation event within 72 hours after you apply that urea, you may not need an MBPT product. All right. Right now, there are a couple MBPT products on the market, Agritain, Arborite, Infix, and Factor, and we'll look at those in some laboratory settings. We use these laboratory settings to test the mechanism, okay? If the product does not work in the lab, generally it's not going to have efficacy in the field. All right, so I'll set up this slide. Many of the following slides are similar. We have cumulative N loss on the y-axis, days after application on the x-axis. All right, this is Nutrisphere at the top, urea, uncoated urea, Agritain coated urea, and AMS. Ammonium sulfate does not go into the form ammonium bicarbonate, therefore we don't get ammonia loss, so it's going to be a flat line. So basically what this graph is telling you that Nutrisphere coated urea is no better than urea. Nutrisphere is not ammonia volatilization inhibitor. Agritain is. All right. If we look at the next slide, now we've got urea, Agritain, Nutrisphere on its own. This is Mississippi data here. It looks very similar to the first slide. Agritain is an ammonia volatilization inhibitor. Nutrisphere is not. And you see we'll keep putting Agritain in here because for the last several years Agritain has been the gold standard MBPT product on the market because it was the only one available. In the last couple years some new MBPT products have come on the market. All right, here is a Gavilon Weyerhaeuser product, Arborite. And you see the urea line showing ammonia volatilization loss. And Arborite is right down here with Agritain, minimizing volatilization loss to less than 5% 14 days after application. So Arborite performs very similar to Agritain. The next product is a product out of the Midwest called Factor. And if you look at it, it performs very similar to Agritain. So Agritain and Factor control ammonia volatilization losses. And the latest product we'll talk about is a product that Helena brought to market last year called Infix, and it, similar to Agritain, controls ammonia volatilization with less than 5% loss 14 days after application. So I think the thing to take away from this is there are MBPT products on the market that have efficacy. If you have doubt about a product, please call us, let us know, and we will look at that product. But in general, if the product contains MBPT, it contains the active ingredient that controls ammonia volatilization. Now, with most nitrification inhibitors, they're either chemical in nature or biological in nature. All right, and basically what they do is stop the conversion of ammonia to nitrate. Some of the commercial products on the market are Inserve and Instinct, which are two Dow products, Intec, which is the DMPP product that is not available currently in the U.S., and SuperU. Most of the data I'm going to show today will be centered around SuperU because most of the work with Instinct and that we have, we can't show you today. Hopefully we'll be able to show you that in the future. Setting up this slide, we have nitrate and the percent of urea in applied on the y-axis and days after nitrogen application on the x-axis. This is some data from Dr. Jack Varco at Mississippi State. And basically what he was looking at was a bunch of products to determine if they were nitrification inhibitors. Okay, so we have urea alone, Enzone, Agritain, Nutrisphere, and Upgrade. And basically, if you look at those lines, none of those lines are very different from one another, suggesting that none of these products control nitrification. Okay, so although we talked about Agritain controlling ammonia volatilization, it does not control nitrification. Okay, pick the right mode of action for your in-loss pathway. All right, this data is some data from Arkansas looking at the efficacy of SuperU. This data is 14 days after aerobic incubation on a DeWitt silt loam, which has got a CEC probably around 17 to 18%. All right, when we look at the recovery of nitrate 14 days after, straight urea applied to the soil surface and incorporated was 71%. So 14 days after we applied a solid urea form, we recovered 71% of that total nitrogen as nitrate. Whereas when we use a SuperU, which contains the active ingredient DCD, we only recover 17% nitrate. So this data here shows that DCD does control or limit the nitrification process. And we had very good total recovery of our fertilizer with 98 and 97% respectively of our total fertilizer recovered. Looking at a couple different soils from Arkansas, this is a Calhoun silt loam and a Crowley silt loam. And basically the red bar is urea, the yellow bar is SuperU in the Calhoun soil, and in the blue bars, the light blue bar there is urea, and the darker blue bar is SuperU in the Crowley soil. All right, and you see two vastly different mechanisms. Okay, over the first 10 days, we see where we're getting some control out of the DCD product on the Calhoun soil, where we see for out to 30 days, we get a product control on the Crowley soil. Why is this? Well, we've done a lot of research over the last several years looking at the nitrification rate of soils in the Mississippi Delta. We have soils from Arkansas, Louisiana, as well as Mississippi in this. And this slide basically shows the ammonium half-life. Okay, we've got no coated products on these soils. This is straight urea. The ammonium half-life of each soil when we add urea and incorporate it to it. So in general, what this is telling me is in about 10 days, all of the ammonium that I'm putting on my soil is converted to nitrate. Okay, we have a couple soils that I couldn't fit on here that is as low as 3 days. Okay, so soils vary, and DCD varies its effectiveness across soils simply because you may have a greater nitrification rate in some soils than others. All right, the third and final that we'll talk about today is the coated products, particularly ESN, and this is the mode of action for ESN. Unlike MBPT and DCD or DMPP, it's a physical process that is protecting you. ESN, unlike the others, it can protect you from both ammonia volatilization, nitrification, and leaching by physically keeping that urea inside a polymer shell and releasing it at a predetermined slow rate. So it's a three-step process where you have a lag period, then followed by linear diffusion, and then a decay period. So what does that look like in a cotton soil in a delta? This was a May 15th application of ESN into a soil. This was a field incubation where we have nitrogen. Let me back that up. Where we have nitrogen remaining inside the preiller, that has not yet been released on the y-axis, and days after burial on the x-axis. And basically what we observe is about a 35 to 40 day release window where that nitrogen is slowly leaching out of that polymer coating into the profile. Okay, any nitrogen that's in that preel is protected. Obviously, the nitrogen that is leached out of that preel is unprotected, but because it does this at a slow rate and it hopes to match crop demand, which it matches cotton demand very well, we can be better efficient. And this is a slide looking that we put together after multiple incubations across multiple temperatures, where if you're wanting to use the product in the Mid-South, this data was generated with Arkansas and Mississippi soils. You can pick your soil temperature and pick how long your product has been out there, your ESN product has been out there, and you can know how much nitrogen that has not yet been released from that product. So these tools that I talked about today are just that, tools. They're not silver bullets. They do help in many instances. In many instances, they can be used as insurance policies. Use your better judgment when using them. If you think you have ammonia volatilization problems, you need to get a product that controls ammonia volatilization. If you need to look at nitrification products, you need to be looking at those. Or if you want to try to limit both and you have a big leaching factor, you may want to consider using the ESN. So again, there's numerous products available on the market to help minimize nitrogen loss. Know your products and know which pathway they target. If you have any question about it, please call one of your state soil fertility specialists. They can help you with that. And know the situations when you will see a benefit. It does no benefit to use the product in a situation where it was never intended for. With that, I'll thank some of my people that helped me gather the data, many of the companies that allow us to test their products. And with that, I'll take any questions if you may have them.
Any questions for Bobby?
Yeah.
The question was, the rates of nitrification doesn't attribute to soil texture. I really don't know, John. The fastest soils that we've tested have been the Calhoun soils in Arkansas and what's in northeast Louisiana, and they're as fast as 3 days. They have relatively slightly higher carbon content than the true silt loams or the very fine sandy loams. Carbon content is tied to it somewhat, but I don't think as of today we have a key that we can say you're going to go out on this Sharkey clay and it's going to be X and you're going to go out on this Calhoun. If we haven't tested that specific soil, I don't think there's any way to say that's it. It's going to look like a Sharkey if it's an alligator clay, or it's going to look like a Calhoun silt loam if it's a Callaway or a Dundee. We physically have to test them to see right now. We haven't ran any correlations.
Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you guys,
Bobby,
for your time.
It.